from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 236, one of the holiday editions, as if you couldn't tell from that catchy tune. The Next Step is a podcast that looks at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that polished look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to kick back right now and enjoy the next few minutes with us. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Yeah, you don't need the music to tell you we're in the Christmas spirit over here. We're just dancing away. Whether it's a jig or whatever, we're getting our feet ready. We've got a big, big one coming up tomorrow night. It is the St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center annual Christmas banquet. And, you know, this is like the only thing we do all year long, where we get together and do a little bit of fundraising, have a little fun, and remember that, you know, our roots are in Christmas. So we're going to be celebrating tomorrow. We're going to be at a place, new place, here in Glendale. If you happen to be in the area, please do stop by. And if you're not in the area, you know, just put on some tunes in your living room, in your backyard, and join us. Join us for a dance. That's coming up tomorrow. But today we've got a new next step for you. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about dreaming and some exciting stuff that happened in my life where they told me, don't dream. Can you believe that? Can you believe people still today believe in not dreaming? And you'll be surprised where that kind of stuff comes from. You'll be surprised who tells you not to dream. Well, that's coming up in a few minutes. We'll be talking a little bit about the Beatles, too. Did you check out Sunsash? Actually, that's where we're going to be starting from today. We're going to be talking about the Beatles, a few comments that I made in Sunsash, and then moving forward on that. We've got some tunes coming up for you in a little bit. Hey, did you catch that one at the beginning? That is off of the Jethro Tull Christmas album. We'll put a link on our show notes today so you can check out all the good music. That is one of my favorite albums. Well, yeah, like no duh, right? My favorite albums during the Christmas season, because it just... It just lightens the soul and it uplifts the soul. So anyway, I want to put a link on there so you enjoy some of the good music there. Hey, last Sunday we had the children's memorial service. If you didn't get a chance to follow some of the stuff that we had posted on the internet, we do have a sermon coming up from that, and that'll be posted, I believe, tomorrow. When is that, Susie? Saturday. Okay. Coming up this Saturday, there'll be the sermon. You might want to check that out. Very, very difficult topic about unnatural topic, right? Natural order of events tells you that, okay, kids grow up and their parents grow older, and as difficult it is, as it is, there comes a time when you say goodbye to your parents, and the children are there to continue life. And the unnatural order is when the children go first. It goes against what nature says. And unfortunately, in life, events that are unnatural do happen, and in particular, the event of having to witness the death of a child. And we had the children's memorial service last Sunday night. I've got to tell you, every year that I go to these, and it gets more and more emotional, but emotional in the sense that we're giving an opportunity. This is done in the name of Katya Hamparyan, a young girl who passed away about 15 years ago, and her parents have lent her name to this beautiful ceremony that takes place. And because of this ceremony, because of her, so many other people have been uplifted during these very difficult times, especially holiday season. They've been finding comfort in a very unnatural state of events. So one of the things that came out of last week was that a new newsletter came out. It's called Always With Me. And I'm going to recommend this. If you haven't seen it, if you want to get a copy, just drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Or you can check out our website, or definitely on Facebook. There will be a link on Facebook at the St. Peter page. Anyway, the new newsletter, Always With Me, is going to be put out once a month. And it really highlights some of the difficult challenges within the lives of families that have lost children. And it gives inspiration, it gives little words of wisdom. It's an ongoing process to let families know that they're not alone and they're not going to be sitting there alone. So do check this out, and especially if you've got somebody who's in need of this newsletter, in need of this holiday gift, it is really something that I highly recommend you forward to your friends. It's available on our website, and of course it's available on Facebook. And if you have a hard time finding it, just drop us a line. feedback@epostle.net. Tell us that you want the Always With Me newsletter. That's the name of it. Yep, the Always With Me. It's the Katya Hamparyan Children's Memorial Newsletter, and it's going to be coming out once a month. Highly recommend it. It's a way of connecting with people who have had similar experiences, and a way to really find some solace, find some comfort in a rather difficult and awkward time and place in life. Well, I told you that there's a sermon coming up on Saturday, and this was kind of funny because yesterday I was, it's not funny, it's kind of weird. Yesterday I was talking with Susie. We passed along, I had to find do the final listen on Sunday sermon and sent it to her, and I realized we are backed up. And this is, I guess, a good thing. It is a good thing, but we are backed up in material that we're putting out on the web. And so I had to send her the sermon, and she put that up yesterday. Today, the next step is coming out. Tomorrow, an issue of Compass, which has been waiting to be mastered. And as you know, some of you know that Ken is in town. He didn't make it to the studio today, but he is in town, and he promised that he would do that. And we're just waiting for him to send us the engineered version of Compass, and that's going out tomorrow, Friday. And then Saturday we're going to get the next sermon out. And of course we've got the In Step with Christ, which we are now backed up. So here's the dilemma, and it's a good dilemma. It's not, no complaints over here, but here's the dilemma. We've got all of this material that is being pumped out on the internet, and you do a quick search, you see the volume of stuff that's going out from these small little studios that we have over here, and you got to really say that thank God that we're able to do this. I want God to use us, and God is really, sometimes we feel like he's exploiting us, but so what? not? Hey, what is life about but to be exploited for the good, for the good thing? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about really exploiting that life and doing a little bit more. I'm pumped up. I got to tell you, a lot of stuff happened over the last few days, and I'm going to share that with you coming up right after the song of the day. A lot of stuff that has put me in a new like state of mind, sort of like ready to go. You know, I had a doctor's appointment a couple days ago. She told me some stuff about like, okay, caffeine here, high fat, da 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 da, and all this kind of stuff. I don't need to bore you with the details, but you realize that, hey, life moves on and it's pretty wild. So let's go for the ride. You know, don't kick back. Let's exploit it. If God is exploiting us, using us, okay, let's exploit life and use it, you know, all we can. Maximize the potential. I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes, and I hope it'll be something that, well, that kind of drives you at this Christmas time as you get ready for the new year with your hopes and your visions for the new year. Something that really kind of pushes you to exploit the potential that's inside of you. That's coming up in a few minutes. There is so much I want to share with you. You know, the week goes by, but we get a lot of email. We get a lot of calls about the programming that we do. I have to say this. I am sorry. Before I say I'm sorry, I have to say I never knew there were so many Melcones in the Armenian community. I got so many emails. Okay, I dropped a name last week. I dropped a name. I told you about the three traditional kings. And I happen to remember Baldassar and Gaspar. And I forgot the third one. Okay, we all make mistakes. But it was the point that, hey, those names aren't important. But, oh, was I corrected? Yes, the third one is named Melkon. Melkon, and a special shout out to Melkon Yervantian. I am really sorry. I appreciated the email that you sent me. And I had it coming. Yes, I had it coming. I shouldn't have forgotten it. But I'm surprised at the number of Melkones within the Armenian community. I knew a guy when I was growing up. His last name was Melkon, and I guess abbreviated from Melkonyan. And I know quite a bit of Melkonyans. In fact, Nahabed Melkonyan, it's a name that you need to remember. He has written a book about three miracles that have taken place at our church in Glendale. Three miracles. And that book we're going to be presenting at the beginning of the year. I'll put something on the show notes. I can't give away too much because we want to give it away as a New Year's gift. And I'm going to make it available to you, our listeners, too. But that's just one part of it. I wasn't going to talk about it except it just kind of fit into the Melkon tradition. But I do want to thank all of you for reminding me that the third wise man was named Melkon. Okay? Gaspar, Baldassar, and Melkon. Okay, so thank you very much. And Mr. Yervantian, that was a cool one that you sent me to. Okay, we are going to break now for the song of the day, something I pick out every week that kind of puts us in the mood of what we're talking about. And I'll be back in a few minutes to talk about dreams and our ability to dream and pushing ourselves to the limits. So how about a song, a Christmas carol for today? Because I'm really in the mood for Christmas carols lately. I mean, you got to come into my car. You got to come into my office. You got to come in my house. I'm just like blaring them out. My kids are just like, oh, Dad, again? Yeah, I like it. Hey, once a year? I know, Susie, yeah, Susie likes to play them all the time. But once a year, I'll just get into the mood. Here is a song, a Christmas carol that I fell in love with. It's probably one of the first Christmas carols that really... well, it took a little impact on me. It had a little bit of an emotional twist. And I guess Christmas carols have different ways of impacting people. I don't need to go into the details. This is a song you've all heard. I'll announce who it's by a little bit later. I want you to just listen to it. It's The Little Drummer Boy. Enjoy.
Come, they told me, a newborn king to see, ba-ra-ba-bum-ba. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-ra-ba-bum-ba, to lay before rap-a-bum-bum. So to honor him, the rap-a-bum-bum, when we come. Little baby, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum, I am a poor boy too, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. I have no gift to bring, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum, that's fit to give our king, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum, ra-ba-bum-bum, ra-ba-bum-bum. Shall I play for you, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum, on my drum?
Drummer boy, of course. The artist, Joan Baez. Did you like that? It's one of my favorites. One of my favorite renditions of The Little Drummer Boy. For many, many reasons. Let me share with you a couple that I just really love. First of all, the manger scene. The humility of having the Lord of the universe being born in a manger. It emphasizes that. It emphasizes the ox and lamb kept time. You know, the first witnesses of the revelation of God were animals. Think about that for a moment, right? Inside a manger. A small little barn. The animals were there. And you think about how we put ourselves on big pedestals. I've shared with you this saying. An old Armenian gentleman once said, he said, titles are what we give ourselves to get our minds off of God. Yeah, you think about all the titles that we have to refer to each other. The Reverend Father, the very Reverend Father, His Eminence, His Grace, His Beatitude, His Holiness. They're all serving a person that was just known as Jesus. How humble. And this is where it all begins. I love it because the song also just makes reference to the purity of the Virgin sitting there and listening and just realizing that this is her child. And people coming and giving gifts, the wise men, and they're giving all kinds of frankincense and myrrh. And here's a little drummer boy. I have no gifts to bring, but what can I do? I'll play my drum. And I think what gets me is that very final, final statement. And then he smiled at me. Me and my drum. At the end, who do you want recognition from? Who do you need recognition from? You just need to be told that your life was worth it. Your life was beautiful. And the nod from Christ is what we're all looking for. That our life, that the days He has given us in this world have had purpose. And that's the entrance to what we're going to be talking about today.
Down in yon forest there stands a hall. The bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with purple and pall. And I love my Lord Jesus above anything.
What I'd like to do right now is share with you a few different incidents that took place over the last few days, kind of put me in a different mindset. Of course, yesterday was 12-12-12. Is that exciting for you? I looked around. Slate on their website had a list of the most, the coolest dates of all. There's one coming up. You know what it is March 14th, 2015. It'll be 3-1-4-1-5, which of course is the beginning of Pi, which then got me going, and I started doing like these web searches. I found Pi to the millionth decimal. Do you ever get lost like that? Okay, one thing leads to the next, and so on and so on. Well, isn't that what we're doing right now? Yeah, that's what I want to share with you right now. It's kind of like just a buildup of all the things that took place, because it really, really gives you some insight on where we are in life today. As a priest, I look at my life and I say, you know, what is my life as a servant of Christ? What does that mean? What does that mean in the life of the people that I serve? Christ came. I just spoke to you about the humility with which he came down. And he came as Jesus, not with all these titles and all these decorations, but he came in a very simple, humble form. He came first in a manger, and then he never lived in palaces. He didn't have the gold robes, and he didn't have the excesses that we consume and we fill our lives, clutter our lives with. And yet his message has been consistent and has inspired people through the centuries, a message of love, of compassion, a message of hope, a message of faith. And as a priest, you have to ask yourself, well, what am I doing? I've been entrusted with this incredible, with this awesome ministry. Every Sunday, as we stand in front of the holy altar, there is a prayer, and it is the priest giving thanks to God that we are, as priests, we've been entrusted. Yes, that's the word, entrusted, with this awesome avor. Yeah, that's actually the same word in English and in Armenian. Ahavor, ahov, awe, awesome, filled with awe, awful, you know, with this incredible ministry that has been given to us. This ministry to reach out with love, faith, and hope. Well, what are we doing with that? And certainly Christmas time, as well as Easter time, these are very special times in the life of the Christian and definitely in the life of the priest. But something happened over the last few days that kind of like shook me up and like a slap in the face. And I wanted to share those with you too. So let's begin. Yesterday was 12-12-12. Okay, you say, so what? Well, a lot of people lined up at marriage altars all around the world to get married, to say that they were married on 12-12-12. And as I said, Slate had a list of all of the coolest dates. I thought it was pretty sad that they forgot the coolest of all the dates, which was 7-7-7. Yeah, I know, 3-14-15, that's coming up. That's going to be an exciting one. But this is the ultimate coolest, right? July 7th, 2007. 777. It's the number that Jesus says, how many times should I forgive someone? Not seven times, but seven times, 77 times. We had a conference about this. That, to me, is the ultimate cool. I'll put a link on our show notes. You check it out. That is cool. But it gets you thinking that, you know, time does go by. And what we do with that time is, well, that's the ultimate question, isn't it, in life? What are we doing with that time? Are we using it biblically throughout the scriptures, throughout Jesus' parables? He's always asking you, what are you doing with that time? Give an accounting of the days that God has given you. What have you done with it? How have you filled it up? Is it filled with love? And so a couple days ago, I went to my doctor's appointment, and I have one of the greatest doctors in the world. We had an opportunity to talk and share a few things that were going on in life, and you start looking at stuff. And now let me tell you this one, completely unrelated, but I get back, and a good friend of mine has sent me a link. Here it is. Are you ready for this? This is in My Health News Daily. Churchgoers have lower blood pressure. Whoa! You could fool me, because the story I'm going to tell you in a minute just like drove up my blood pressure. So maybe churchgoers will have lower blood pressure. People who work in the church, they just get higher blood pressure. Let's see, I'll put a link on our show notes to this as well, too, okay? People who go to church more often have lower blood pressure than those who are less churchgoing, according to a new study from Norway. People who reported going to church at least 3 times a month had blood pressure that was, on average, 2 to 3 points lower than those who didn't go to church. Those who went to church between 1 and 3 times a month saw about a 1 point reduction in blood pressure. And those who went once a month or less had about a 0.5 point benefit. Although there has been previous research in the United States regarding the relationship between religious practice and blood pressure, no such work has been conducted in Norway. Okay. I'm just throwing that out, okay? You start thinking about all this stuff, right? Like, oh, what is the church important in your life? Is it controlling? Is it making you upset, or is it relaxing you? And this is what I wanted to share with you. So that day, right after my doctor's appointment, I went to a church meeting. And this is a meeting that's getting things ready for a big event that's coming up. It's not necessary to go into the details. Just suffice it to say that you have to sit through this meeting. And actually, in this case, I had to run the meeting. I'm the chair of this meeting. And those of you who have listened to this podcast know I don't do well with meetings. I don't do well with the structure. And I guess I needed something like this to really kind of like emphasize that one more time. Maybe that's it. So I'm sitting there and, you know, I've shared with you. If you can do the things that you like to do 70% of the time, everybody has that little point at which you break, right? To me, it's the 70-30 split. You know, if I could do 70% of the work that I want to do and enjoy it, then I'm willing to deal with 30% of my life giving it to these things that really don't matter. And so I went to this meeting and I'm sitting across from people. And we're talking about a very big event. And I was expressing the vision for it and everything. And I had this one lady just turn to me and said, you know, I've been in the church life for 8 years. Woohoo! No, she didn't say the woohoo. That's my commentary on it. She goes, 8 years I've been in the church life, you know. And you can't have an event like this. It won't work. I go, what do you mean it won't work? Well, no, it won't work. People just won't come. The people don't do it. And it was just so... It wasn't just one sentence. She was just so adamant about it. And the people that you look around and you see sitting there, and you realize that there is a reason why people don't want to get caught up in the reality of church. It is a negative experience. I mean, I'm a priest and I'm sitting through this stuff, and I'm realizing that these people are just bringing it down. There was like no opportunity to dream. And that dreaming is very, very important. As human beings, yes, and even more so as Christian, and even more so as a priest. Because it's all about dreams. It's all about really maximizing the person that you are. If God has created you, He's given you a unique set of fingerprints. He's setting you apart from everybody else. Isn't there a reason for your existence? Is it just to follow and just be another ant, another cog in the wheel? Or is there something greater than that? And as a church, as the kingdom of God on earth, doesn't that definition itself set you apart? That you aren't a cog, you're not just another organization, but you're something bigger. And so you have that right to dream. Not only dream, you have a right to expect that that dream can be come reality. Why not? Why not? What do you think everything that we have today? You think like the Wright brothers invented flying? I mean, there were people that were dreaming of flying. What is the story of Icarus? Hey, going back centuries, if not millennium. People dreaming of flying. Okay, it didn't work out. You didn't have the technology, but somewhere along the way it happened, right? So keep dreaming. Keep believing. Think of Martin Luther King, the famous civil rights leader. I mean, he's the ultimate dreamer, right? I have a dream. What was that dream about? It was a dream that was fantasy. People couldn't believe that he was even talking about that. And that was in the 1960s. Imagine 200 years ago. You mean people weren't dreaming of freedom back then? Of course they were. They were dreaming. And that dream was just far-fetched, impossible. Where would it be that we could be free? We would have these chains taken away from us. But we dreamed of that. Who would have ever dreamt that an African American would be the president of the United States? But it was a dream. And so, yes, Martin Luther King came in the 1960s. He talked about it. He dreamt it. And then it was back in 2008. What is that? Can't do the math that quickly. 40 years later, that the United States elected an African American as president. It was far-fetched. It was a dream. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Somebody dreamt it 200 years ago. Somebody dreamt it in 1960. Somebody dreamt it in 1970. In fact, somebody dreamt it in 2007. And then it was in 2008. He was elected. He's president of the United States. Okay, so every dream comes about, you know. You can't limit dreams because it may seem impossible for you. And so here we are sitting at a meeting and they're preventing you from dreaming. And I kind of like lost it. I just lost it. I just said, hey, you know, what are you guys talking about? If you guys are talking about another organization, about just another event, then do it. You don't need me in here. But somebody along the way needs to dream about these things. And so, you know, we put together this once-a-day inspiration called Sunsash. If you haven't subscribed to that yet, please do. Go to sunsash.blogspot.com. Anyway, we put together this little bits of wisdom and inspiration. And so last night, as I was just thinking about, like, wow, can you imagine how stifling it is to be inside of the church? And I was telling you a few minutes ago, right? It's like, okay, yeah, they may have research that you go to church, you attend church, your blood pressure goes down. But, you know, you really feel when you're stifled, it's like right on your pressure. It's like pressure on you. Like they're telling you, no, you cannot be who God intends you to be. This is, I think, one of the downfalls of the church. It's like maintaining the status quo. And so last night I'm sitting there and I'm thinking of what we're going to use for Sunsash. And this comes to me. I don't know. I can't remember the source where I got this from, but it is a Theodore Roosevelt quote. And it says, believe you can, and you're halfway there. Believe you can, and you're halfway there. All of a sudden, I started, like, in my head, I'm, like, hearing this song. Beatles, 1967. It's wild, huh? How this progresses. And it gets even more wild, okay? Because today, as I meet with Susie before the show, we go through the show notes and we go through what we're going to be doing today in the show. And I tell her about the Beatles. You know, the theme that I'm going to be using, this Beatles idea. And she goes, I can't believe it. Last night I was thinking about Beatles too because I heard the news of Ravi Shankar's passing. And wow, what's going on here? We heard that last night. And God rest his soul, a beautiful soul, filled with a lot of beautiful music, added a lot of beauty to life. But here, let's talk about Beatles. Remember the song Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? It was 20 years ago today, the Beatles said. Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. I remember when Sgt. Pepper came out. It was a wild, it was a revolutionary album. It was. It's like the first of that concept album genre, right? Okay, 1967... They said it was 20 years ago. I remember 1987 because it was the 20th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's. And I remember sitting around and listening to that. and realizing that it was 20 years ago today, 1987, that the Beatles wrote Sgt. Pepper. And now I'm sitting there, 20 years has not only passed, but now we're at 45 years past the time that the Beatles wrote Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So it's been 45 years since they sang the song, 65 years since they taught the band to play. Whoa, life has gone on. Life happens. You know, 12, 12, 12, it came and went. Life happens. You've got to grab hold of life. And that is not just kind of some kind of modern day positive imagery. It is what Jesus Christ taught. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Worry about today. Set your mind on God's kingdom and all else will follow. Well, what does that mean? Set your mind on God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a dream. It's a dream. And you set your mind on that dream, and things fall into place. As a church, we don't have the right nor the responsibility to stifle people from their dreams, to put any kind of restriction on people. We need to allow people to actualize their potential. And this is a serious calling for the priest, the calling of the priest. It is the responsibility of the church, the kingdom of God on earth, to allow people to dream and really find means by which, let them find their means by which they can actualize those dreams. And that is the mission of the church. What is the mission? It's the same mission that Christ had. What did Christ do? He allowed each of those people that he came into contact to actualize their dreams. The man was a paraplegic. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He gave him the resources. And he says, people say, well, what are you doing forgiving sins? He wants to walk. Jesus says, okay, walk. You see, he gave the means, the resources by which he could walk. He relieved him of the excess baggage in life. Goes up to the young kid who's passing away. He says, you're not dead. You're just sleeping. Wake up. In other words, you want to actualize your dreams? The first thing you need to do is wake up. That's true of anybody, isn't it? You're dreaming all night. You want to make that dream come true? Wake up and just do it. It's up to us to do it, but it's up to the church to provide the means, to provide the environment in which dreams can work, not to hamper, not to stifle those dreams, because the church has the same mission that Jesus Christ did. So enter next event in the series of events that have been taking place over the last few days. I get a copy of this new mission statement of the Armenian Church. Holy moly. Talk about confusion. Mission statement. It's like a full page of paragraph. And listen to the wording. To accept the children of the bosom of the church. Children who came from the bosom of the church. Who uses vernacular like this? I mean, what kind of archaic talk is this? What are we talking about all of a sudden? No wonder people are staying away from the church. There's no relevancy to real life, the bosom of the church. Now, the church's mission is very simple. It's not clouded, it's not confusing, it's not a long one. It's the same mission that Jesus Christ had. That's how simple it is. Jesus Christ came to this world, and as soon as he was baptized, as soon as he was ready to begin his ministry, he came into the synagogue and he said, "This for this reason I have come to this world." He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to pronounce the acceptable year of the Lord." And this is it. It's go ahead, dream. I'm with you. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Yes, you're poor. You can dream that you're going to get out of your situation, and I'll be there to support that dream. to proclaim release to the captives. You're in chains, but dream about it. I'm there to support you, to give recovery of sight to the blind. You can't see, but it's okay. You will see. Believe in it. Believe in it. And Jesus, throughout the Gospels, does this. He goes up to the blind man, and the blind man says, "Lord, let me see." Man wants to do it. What does Jesus do? He opens his eyes. "Lord, I want to hear." What does he do? He opens his ears. And if the church can't be doing this, we have no business calling ourselves the church. And so when we talk about the Armenian Orthodox tradition, and this is why I separate it as Armodoxies, because I have to sit through meetings where it becomes evident that the church may have failed, but Armenian Orthodoxy, in its purest sense, in other words, Armodoxy, polished for today, is ready to go. It's the means by which we can implement the beauty of the church. We can do it. And to be honest with you, over the last few days, I've never felt so exhilarated, so excited about really taking on the challenges and really proclaiming what we're all about. For this I was ordained. And yeah, throughout the years, there's challenges. They come up to you and they slap you in the face a few times. They want to put you down, but you got to keep believing. You got to keep dreaming. For this reason, you were ordained. And I know you can't clap with one hand. You need a few people. That's why I'm always thankful to God that, you know, if God is with us, and I know that you as listeners are on the other side praying for us, praying for me, praying that we can move forward. Together we can do. We can bring back Christ to the church. I mean, it's really sad. It's really sad what's happening. When you need a full page to express how the church has a mission to preserve language and language skills among the Armenian people. Hey, you want Armenian skills? I'll tell you where to go. Go right to Armenia. It's the greatest place. That's how I did it. You go there and you learn. If that's what you're interested in, you go there and you learn the language. You learn to read and write. It's the greatest place on earth. It's some place that I hope one day I can move back to. It's a day that I hope that maybe with a family I can be there. It is a beautiful thing. Despite the challenges, it is a land that I connect with. It may not connect with you, but it does to me. Okay, now that's a separate choice. That's a separate wanting. That's a separate desire. It has nothing to do with church. To throw that into the mission statement it's obscene. It's not correct. But because of traditions, lowercase t, because of traditions and because of misguided individuals, we get caught up in that flow. So all of this has taken place over the last few days, from my doctor's appointment to this obscure meeting where we just cut down. These events that are taking place, I remember the drummer boy and I remember Jesus nodding at him. And on top of all this, it was last Saturday that I was in Phoenix. Yes, you know, I was out in the desert. I love that little escape for myself. I had gone to visit my son. And on the drive back, I pulled out an audio CD of Ayn Rand's Fountainhead. Now, I've been kind of like toying with the idea of Ayn Rand. Where does she come from? How does she fit in all this? Because she's finding a new popularity here in the States. Recently, last few years, there's been a TV program called Mad Men. And it's kind of like based. Actually, when I listened to Fountainhead on the trip home, I realized that, yeah, you know, there's a lot of similarities. But it kind of got me intrigued. And like I said, Mad Men, very, very popular show here in the States. And they make references to Ayn Rand. So I said, okay, I'm going to check this out. I don't think I had connected with Ayn Rand since college days, and even back then in the 70s, she was on the list not to read, okay? So I'm listening to Fountainhead, and there's one pronounced moment where a lot about individualism, a lot about being an individual, and one pronounced moment where the protagonist in the story, Rourke, is talking with the dean of the university, and the Rourke has the audacity to look at the Greek Parthenon and make some comments about its architecture. And, it's like, you don't do that. You're not even a student. You're being expelled from school. And he's in the dean's office and he's talking about what's wrong with history, with something that the world has said is, architecturally sound and beautiful and worth looking at. And he makes a comment. He says, "I want to be an architect, not an archaeologist. I see no purpose in doing Renaissance villas. Why learn to design them when I'll never build them?" Parallel? Yeah. And I want to be a priest. You want to be a Christian. You may want to be a priest. You should be what you are called to be. Not archaeologists. Not historians. History has its place. You have history to guide you, to look at, to study. But you're not living in history. The Christian is living today. This is why I have the audacity to call this Armodoxy. It's not about Armenian Orthodoxy, which may have taken place throughout the centuries. Armodoxy is today. It's not about history. It's about today's reality. It's about sitting here and talking about our faith, ancient Armenian Orthodoxy today, where the Beatles play into it, where Fountainhead plays into it, where you can listen to a June Baez song, you can hear the drummer boy beating out the beat and giving his gift to the Lord, to the child in the manger. And with all this, you understand that it has a place within the faith that goes back to the beginning of all time. And you realize that St. Gregory the Illuminator, Narigatsi, Shnorhali, the great ones, and the small ones, were all in tune and in sync with something greater than themselves. Greater than what you could touch. Greater than what we can define. And that, of course, is God. And so here's the invitation. Push yourself. Don't be scared. Believe and dream. Dream doesn't mean you're not a realist. It means you are an ultimate realist. I guess I didn't finish out the story that I told you. That woman just sat there and she says, "For 8 years I've been in the church and I'm a realist. I want to tell you, you can't do that. It won't happen. You won't get that." To which I kindly looked at her and I said, "I've been a priest for 30 years. And you know what? All I've done is dream. And those dreams have become reality because God has blessed them." So I'm inviting you right now, okay? Dream. Don't be scared to dream. And don't be scared to verbalize them. Talk about them and know that God will bless them. God will bless them. I'm living proof of that. A couple of weeks, I'm going to share with you a booklet that just came out. I just saw the prototype of it. It's three miracles that took place here at a small church we call St. Peter's. It's written by Nahab Ed Melkonian. These are all dreams that came true. I want you to look at the entire apostle ministry. It's a dream that came true. I want you to look at flying. It's a dream that came true. I want you to look at every modern miracle that you hold in your hand that you enjoy today. It's a dream that came true. Your dreams will come true too. Don't let anybody discourage you. Especially, don't let anybody drive your blood pressure up, because the church, it's been said, has to lower your blood pressure. So let it tell you that you can do it. Okay, I want you to hear it first here on Armodoxy. It can come true. It will happen. Dreams do come true. Last few weeks, we've been enjoying Anush with her Pomegranate Seeds Reflections. We're going to take a break this week from her. She has another one, beautiful one. I read it this morning. Unfortunately, we couldn't make the time to get her into the studio, but we're going to be working out some of those details, and hopefully we'll have her as a regular part and a regular contributor to these podcasts. For right now, let me let Susie make her announcements, and I'm going to come back and tell you what's exciting and what's coming up in Apostle Land.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Thank you, Susie, for the message. And you know what? I want to just tell all of you, thank you very much for your prayers. I want to tell you that it's gotten to be a little bit overwhelming lately. As I was telling you earlier, I can't believe the volume of stuff that we're pumping out of this place, out of this small little studio. And I think I need to kind of restructure and reorganize. So in the next few weeks, actually, I've given myself a little time limit between now and January 7th. January 6th, of course, is our Armenian Christmas Theophany, and we're going to be, I can't believe I said Armenian Christmas. I just made a point of it. If you check out last week's Step with Christ, I made a major point of saying, don't call it Armenian Christmas. Let's call it Theophany. Anyway, I digress. Between now and January 7th, because on the 7th, we're going to be going out to Blog World Expo. And that is like the podcaster's dream. This is where podcasters get together. We're going to be putting together a lot of information and packets and different ways of structuring our Epostle ministry. Because we're realizing that at this point, the amount and volume of stuff that we're pumping out onto the internet needs to be organized in a different fashion. And it needs to be really available and accessible at different levels. That's a lot of words, but basically we're going to be restructuring. So bear with us in the next few weeks. That's going to be coming up. And of course, we've got Christmas and the new year to look forward to. A lot of exciting things going on. Our outreach programs at In Issues Ministries continues to be the focus, the center of this entire ministry. But we've got some incredible programs for the new years that if you can, please do get involved. One of them is the toy drive, and that one you can do from anywhere in the world because it just going on Amazon and ordering some toys. We're going to be taking them out to a shelter out in the middle of Nevada. That is like kind of like no man's land. It's actually a place that a lot of children have to be because they're protected and protected where people can't find them. This is a shelter that if you listen to the Next Step a few years ago, I happened to run across them by chance, purely by chance. And I just felt like we need to do something for these kids out there. So the toys that you donate right now, I'm looking at the Christmas tree every morning. I'd say there's a couple hundred toys out there. I want to get it up to about 500-600 toys. That's been where we're hovering at the last few years. That's the Yvette Hagopian toy drive. And of course, our blankets. This is a special blanket project. We accept blankets that cannot be bought at your local Walmart. They have to be handmade. hand-sewn. And guess, you'll never guess who the expert...
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
...crafter of these blankets are. Yes, none other than Susie. She actually runs crocheting and sewing circles every week. She belongs to a group called Chicks with Hooks and Sticks. How's that, huh? How's that for something exciting? Yep. It's a group that gets together and they sew, they crochet, they knit. And so she's leading the charge on knitting blankets and sweaters and caps. And these are going to be delivered to people that are in cancer wards. So that's why we want them to be handmade, to let them know that there is a human element to the giving. And you can participate in this if you are far away. You need to get them in the mail. If you'd like to create something in the next couple days, you can, but I need them by December 20th. You can drop them in the mail and send it over to our address, 632 West Stalker, Glendale, California, in the United States of America, 91107. And of course, we have our food drives, but tell you the truth, to send, to be a part of that, it's kind of better if you're just in the area. I can't see you sending, like, you know, tons of canned food. It's like, it's a kind of, you may, but I guess the delivery service will make out more than the people it serves. If you get my drift, they are pretty heavy. So let's focus our Epostle crowd on these two big ministries, the toy drive and the blankets, which are pretty easy and accessible for everybody. Do participate. You can find out more information at our mothership website. It is called inhisshoes.org. And by the way, at the top of inhisshoes.org, you will find the Martin Luther King Retreat coming up. That's January 19th, 20th, 21st. I cannot emphasize what a great retreat this is every year. I cannot emphasize how important it is. If you're interested in really dreaming, if you're interested in protest, if you're interested in changing things in your lives, in the lives of others, do participate in this. This takes place during the famous Martin Luther King weekend, and it is sponsored by In His Shoes Ministries. And there is a discount if you register early enough. You don't have to pay the full price. There is a special offer going on right now, so do check it out, inhisshoes.org. And the final thing, it's just been a pleasure doing this show for you. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. For the wonderful crew who puts this together, I want to invite you to get involved on our website, epostle.net, where you'll find today's podcast, as well as all the podcasts we've done from the beginning of time. You'll find ways to connect with us, especially if you want to drop us an email. We'd love to hear from you. It is feedback@epostle.net. For Susie, our producer, for Amish, who promises to come back next week, Vahe, our webman, this is Father Vosken inviting you to join us again next week. But before you get to next week, remember tomorrow we'll have a compass, the following day some more sermons, and next week we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.